Sounds True presents Your Buddha Nature, Part 11, Meditations with Jack Kornfield.
This is a series of meditations that will offer us the experience in our own minds and hearts of that intrinsic awakening and happiness that is there for us, that is there in any moment, and in particular that arises as we touch our own Buddha nature. And by living from this realization, from the realization of our inner inherent compassion and wakefulness, it transforms our lives and also transforms the lives of those that we touch. So that Mahatma Gandhi put it this way. He said, "I believe in the essential unity of all beings, all that lives, and therefore I believe that if one person gains spiritually, the whole world gains. And if one person falls, the whole world falls to that extent." Our awakening touches every being that we encounter in our work, in our families, in our communities, as we move, as we drive. And in that regard, the teachings of Buddhist meditations and Buddhist philosophy are all reminders of this potential to awaken in ourselves. The first of the perfections, if you recall, that we spoke of is the inherent or natural generosity of the heart, that generosity that wants to give through seeing our connectedness with all and through feeling our own wholeness. Remember the line from the poet Rumi, who wrote, "Walking out of the treasury building, I feel generous." There's a natural connectedness, and what we seek that allows this connectedness to shine is always found in the present moment, in the simplest moments of attention. As Mother Teresa said, "You cannot do great things in this life. You can only do small things with great love." Or William Blake, who wrote, "If one is to do good, it must be done in the minute particulars. General good is the plea of the hypocrite, the flatterer, and the scoundrel." So this first meditation will be on the intrinsic goodness and generosity of our being, discovering that in your own heart. It's a Buddhist practice that's often connected with the reflection at the time, preparation for death. So sitting comfortably, allow your eyes to close gently. And become aware in your own body of your breath rhythm and the presence of your body at this time. And feeling your breath rhythm and your body, become aware also of the fact of your own death, that this body you have been given will exist for a certain period of time, and then in an unknown date in the future, 50 years or 10 years or 1 year or 1 month, at some point you will release this body and there will be an end to this physical life. Knowing that that is so, one is then instructed to look back over your life as if today were the last day, and to bring into mind two good deeds, two things that you have done in your life that are good. They can be simple, they needn't be complicated. Allow the reflection back across life to show you two moments of goodness, good deeds. And as you remember them, also be aware of the state of mind that comes as you feel those moments in memory re-arise. What's the quality that it evokes in consciousness? Resting with the memory of those deeds and the state of consciousness that's present, allow the goodness of those moments to fill your whole being. Now, after this reflection, allow your eyes to open again easily. And in a moment, we can reflect on what came. What you'll probably notice in this very simple meditation is that the good deeds are often not what you'd expect on your resume. You know, the resume good deeds that say, worked for Mother Teresa in Calcutta from 1974 to 1979, you know, and then worked in the refugee camps in Rwanda or whatever. Those things that are in our fantasy of the great good deeds. That often these are much more elementary and much simpler. People will raise their hands at the end of this meditation and say, what I remembered was flying across country to care for my sister's children after her accident. Or I'm an elementary school teacher, and what came to mind were the mornings where a few kids would come in and they were having such a hard time, and I would just call them over and hold them in my arms. Or what I remember was calling my father and telling him that I loved him before he died. Or I remember being in a business where this young man was working for me, 17 or 18 years old, and I started missing things and I knew he was stealing stuff. And I realized I could call the police, but instead I had him stay after and sat down and confronted him, and he denied it. And I just listened for a long time. I said, well, then just tell me about your life. And when I heard how bad his life was, I felt so sympathetic. And I said, you know, I know you've done it, and I don't want to turn you in. Let me help you in some other way. Mm-hmm. Or the nurse who raised her hand and said, well, I work in the emergency room, but I don't remember many good deeds, actually. Imagine that. She said, but I remember when I was a child, and there was a car that pulled up in front of our house on the street that we lived, pulled over to the curb. I was 6 or 7 years old, and all the steam was coming out of the radiator. Something had broken in the car. And they knocked on the door, and they asked if they could use our phone to call the gas station, which they did. And then they went and they sat in their car, and it was a half an hour before I saw anybody come, and it was a hot morning. And I ran into the kitchen, and I made lemonade, and I took out cookies from the cookie jar, and I brought out a little tray of lemonade and cookies to these two older people who were sitting in their car in the hot sun. And now, after 40 years of working as a nurse and in the emergency room and so forth, what I remember when I look back over my life is that moment. And you can hear in the kinds of moments that people remember, the moments of goodness are so simple. They're a moment of caring or connection for or with another being. Now, usually in this meditation, I also ask, are there not some of you who couldn't remember any good deeds? And if people are honest, about a third of the hands in the room go up. Do you know why that is? Because two-thirds of us are good people, and a third is bad. The reason is that we judge ourselves so harshly. that we're so judgmental, a good deed will come and we'll say, oh, that one doesn't count because I got something out of it. Or I liked that person and I was, you know, just expressing my affection. Or well, that one doesn't count either because it's not really good enough. Or all the excuses that we have. So that if I ask people to tell me about their goodness, they can almost not do it. If I said, tell me about your rotten deeds, all these hands would go up. We judge ourselves so harshly that many of us would not be allowed to be a judge in any civilized country. You'd have to go to Uganda under Idi Amin and they'd say, ah, yes, she would be just the right person for the judge's bench. There, bam, off with their head, no good. So that when you can't find the good deeds, you may have a lifetime of 100,000 moments where you've touched another being in some beautiful way. We all do. But the heart is so judgmental of our own true nature that we don't remember, we don't accept, and we don't allow. This goodness is the vision that Thomas Merton spoke of, where he said, then it was as if I suddenly saw the secret beauty of their hearts, the depths where neither sin nor desire can reach, the person each one is in God's eyes. If only they could see themselves as they really are, if only we could see each other that way, there would be no reason for war or hatred or cruelty. I suppose the big problem would be that we would fall down and worship each other. The moments that illuminate what it is to be awake are not fantastic or grand. They are the moments of a natural, sacred presence when we are there for another person. And it can be so simple. Someone raised their hand again in another of these meditations and said, well, it's silly what I saw, but when I'm in a crowded area in town looking for a parking space and I get there at the same time as another person, I always let them have the space. That's my good deed for this life. And who knows what that does for that other person who then goes home and deals with his or her children or environment. It gets passed along. This next meditation will be a guided meditation of simple sitting practice, which allows us to touch that place of inner peace or stillness, that Buddha nature within that was there in the previous meditation to be found and even in our difficulties. Let yourself sit in a posture which is comfortable and at ease and yet dignified. In the sitting meditation, which is the reawakening to one's Buddha nature, one sits as if you were seated underneath the Bodhi tree. You are the Buddha herself or himself sitting under the tree of enlightenment, upright halfway between heaven and earth, allowing the heart and mind and body all to open to the truth of life. And to meet this truth with your own wakefulness and compassion. As George Washington Carver said, how far you go in life depends on your being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, and tolerant of the weak and the strong. Because someday in life you will have been all of these. To sit is to begin to allow ourselves to open to all of the energies of life in a creative and wakeful state, compassionate, wise. Notice in your body as you begin to sit if there are any obvious areas of tension. Let them soften. If you can do so, let the eyes and face be soft, jaw relax. Move the head a little bit if you wish to let the neck release and the head rest centered in the shoulders. Let the arms and hands rest easily. Allow the belly to be soft and the breath natural. And let the heart be soft as well, to receive whatever arises with compassion or kindness. Sit now with an openness of awareness. Feel the body states at this moment. That feels the moods of the heart. The sadness, the excitement, the tiredness, the joy, whatever is present. Allowing space for it. And that feels and knows as well the movements of mind. Let thoughts and images, memories and plans rise and fall like waves of the ocean. Allow the awareness to be open, feeling and sensing this moment unfolding and resting with stillness in the center. As you sit with a still and kind attention, you'll notice how often the waves of thought and memory carry you. In order to reconnect with this presence more deeply, you can be aware of the breathing in the center of your being. Let the waves of thoughts and feelings continue to move and rise and fall in the background, and bring your attention to feel the life breath in the center of them all, the coolness or tingling in the nose, back of the throat, or the rise and fall of chest or belly. And feel this natural rhythm, the soft movement of breath, carefully, resting in the breath with your awareness, steadying and connecting the body and mind and heart together with each breath. Feel the breath carefully, the beginning, middle, or end of the sensation someplace in the body, the space between breaths, the warmth or coolness or rhythm. That care of attention connects the mind and body and heart just here. after a few breaths, you will probably notice that again a wave of thought or feeling arises and carries you off, and then you wake up sometime later, half a minute or 5 minutes later, and realize, here I am sitting. As soon as you reawaken, you can name and acknowledge truthfully that wave, planning, remembering, fear, sadness, excitement, longing, love. Feel the wave in the body and mind quite fully as you name it gently. As if you could bow to it, allow it to pass, and then return again, having named it and bowed to it. When it finishes, return again to the breath itself and feel 3 or 4 or 5 more breaths until the next wave carries you. Rest in the pure awareness of this moment, feeling the breath as it comes and goes, or naming and bowing to each experience that unfolds within you with a compassionate and wakeful heart. Let the body and mind open as it will. Rest in your wise and kind Buddha nature as long as you wish. And when the sitting feels like it is finished for you, 15 minutes, 20, 30, or 45. Bow to whatever your experience has been. Feel the refreshment of stilling the body and quieting the mind and opening the heart. And then let your eyes open gently at the end to return back and bring this presence of peace and centeredness and compassion back into the world. So that's just the simple sitting instructions that we've worked with in the classes for ages and ages, of settling the body, resting in a physical way, but using the breath as a centering, and then allowing an acknowledgement of the unfolding of experience with awareness and with kindness. While it sounds extremely simple to sit and be with the breath and body, the heart and mind, and trust their unfolding in the way of this sitting, it is at the same time ultimately profound, because it allows the wisdom that faces our whole life to awaken. The mystery of being a human, being alive, shows itself when we stop and are still and pay attention. The natural wisdom of the heart shows itself when we stop and pay attention. It is in our willingness to pay attention that both wisdom and compassion, our true nature, begin to reveal themselves. The next meditation builds on the sitting practice that we have just spoken of, but works with the qualities of listening in a different way. Rather than starting with the body and the breath and then opening awareness to feelings and thoughts and other experiences, this is a meditation that allows for the quality of patience and spaciousness, of resting in our true nature to show itself immediately, not through the body, but through the heart and mind directly. In the teachings of the 10 perfections of our own Buddha nature, we spoke of the qualities of constancy and of a kind of determination or steadiness. These qualities don't come from fighting experience or being determined to conquer it, but rather they arise naturally when we include all that we might turn away from as the place of our meditation. So we'll do a meditation again that asks that you sit or lie for this practice in a very comfortable way, in which your body also will not move for the 10 or 12 minutes of this practice, holding the body quite still and comfortable for this meditation is particularly helpful. It is a meditation that begins with sound rather than with breath and body. And there's a Buddhist text called the Book of Great Liberation that speaks of using space and sound to understand the nature of our own heart and mind. There being really no duality, all separation is untrue. The whole of worldliness, of samsara and nirvana, as an inseparable unity, are one's own mind. If one wishes to see the true nature of mind with a capital M, of consciousness that pervades all of the world, it is found to be quite intelligible, although invisible. In its true state, mind is naked, immaculate, being of the voidness, clear, transparent, vacuous, uncompounded, colorless, not composed of separate things, but being the unity of all things, yet not limited by them, containing all things, yet not limited. If you wish to see the true nature of mind, listen to these words and look directly at your own mind. So as you sit quietly, continue to listen to these words. In its true state, mind is open, vast, being of the voidness, transparent. And as you listen, let the sense of body, the sense of thoughts and feelings, let them go, let them be in the background. All of your attention is to the words and to the sounds. Let yourself also hear the sound of the bells. Simply listening. An open, easy, respectful listening. And as you listen with a spacious attention, let yourself sense or feel or picture or imagine any way that you can that your mind is not limited to your head, that it's not inside your skull. Let the sense of your mind open up to be quite vast, as big as the whole space of this room, and bigger still like the vast open sky, without borders or boundaries, no inside and no outside, just a vast space of your own mind, and the sounds which you hear arise and pass like clouds or bubbles in this vast open space of mind. The bells which you hear, the soft sounds in the distance, the play of these words, let the mind be open and vast and silent, like space. And the sounds come and go like clouds in different parts of the vast space of mind. In its true state, mind is open, transparent, containing all things yet not limited by them, like space or like the great ocean where waves arise and fall. To know if this is so, look within your own mind. In this spacious listening, allow yourself also to become aware of the breath. And if you feel carefully, there will be no solid breath. The breath moves like a breeze in this open space of mind, like a cool breeze. And allow yourself to be aware of the sensations of body. As you feel the breath and body carefully, there is no solid body. There are areas of pressure and sensation, warmth, hardness, coolness, tingling, that float in the open space of mind. No boundaries, no inside or outside, no legs and arms, no torso and head. Feel. There's areas of sensation that float in the space, the pure space of knowing. Sounds come and go. The breath moves like a breeze. And sensations of the physical body float and slowly change in the open space of awareness. Thank you. The mind is like a sky, vast and open. Sounds arise and pass like clouds. The breath moves like a breeze. Sensations float and slowly change. Let yourself also be aware of the movements of thoughts and images, feelings that rise and pass. Words come through the space of mind without leaving a trace. Images and pictures appear and disappear like bubbles. Moods and feelings, sorrow and joy, peacefulness and worry arise for a time in the space of mind and vanish without a trace. Rest in the pure, open knowing. In its true state, mind is naked, immaculate, clear, without duality, timeless and transparent, containing all things, yet not limited by them. To know if this is true or not, look within your own mind. Sounds come and go. The breath moves like a breeze. Sensations float and change. And the waves of thoughts and feelings arise for a moment and pass in time. The mind is silent, awake, allowing for all things, yet not limited by them. Rest in this pure, knowing heart, this open space that embraces all things. And finally, feeling the connectedness that is natural with all that exists. It all arises and passes within this same open heart and mind. When you hear the bell, allow your eyes to open and see the forms and colors that arise in the same vast space, the openness of our true nature. For people who have difficulties finding their breath, or find themselves in circumstances in their life where there is distracting sound, noises about, other such difficult environments for meditation, it can be really helpful, instead of struggling against the environment or trying to sense the breath when it's not apparent, to let go of the breath and body is the start of meditation, and begin instead with this openness, this spaciousness, and the simple listening that lets the sense of identity shift from the small sense of self and open to our vast being. We can do this with noise, but it's also beautiful to do in stillness, sitting out in the forest, with the eyes closed and opening until the rustle of the squirrels and the sound of the birds feel like they're flying through the space of your own mind. Use this meditation as much as you like, in whatever ways are helpful to you.
This concludes part 11 of Your Buddha Nature with Jack Kornfield. Please turn the tape over for part 12.